We'll finish next week, but we'll make the scene then. Okay, we're doing tonight Perek Chav Aleph, Chav and Chav Aleph, and we are going to start from the last two psukim Perek Chav. Now you have the whole text twice here, once with the Malbim and once without the Malbim. So the time, page one, you have without the Malbim. Page two and three, you have with the Malbim. You can follow the choice of your text of your choice, and we will go commence. We're going to start with from Pasuk, called Pasuk Memvav, which is Memzayin. So I believe what we got up to last week. And Pasuk Memzayin discusses the total casualties in the war. Vayu kol noflim, all those who fell in war, mi binyamin, from Shevet binyamin, esrim, v'chamisha elef, 25,000 altogether, elefi sholif chereb, who were holders, bearers of sword, bayamahu, as kolel adjuchal, all these were people of war soldiers. Now we mentioned last week that 100 people got lost in the shuffle, because at the beginning we said 25,100, and there was an issue where they went to Rome or Romania, wherever they went, they weren't here. Either they went somewhere, or they, other interpretations are that we rounded up to the nearest thousand. So, bottom line is, these are all the people who were killed. We say, Vayikol Noflim, maybe Vayifnu, that was Pasuk Membav, I'm sorry. Vayitu Vayinu Samidbara, they ran off to the desert. El Sela Harimon, to the 600 who were left, went off to Sela Rimon. Sheshmel Sa'ish, Vayishu Sela Rimon Arba Chodoshim, and they were in Sela Rimon for 4 months. There are a couple of thoughts here. First of all, Sela Rimon, what does Rimon signify to you? Pomegranate. I didn't tell what the translation is. What does it signify? Tonight is already Adar Sheni almost. What?
Hand grenades.
Attack of foreign spirit. What is Rimon? 613, right? It says in the Gemara that even Rishei Yisrael are Malayim Mitzvahs Karimon. Even those who sin, the evil person, Am Yisrael, are full of mitzvahs like a pomegranate. Some say, another gear says, Malayim Charotos Karimon. They're full of regrets, good Jewish guilt, like a pomegranate is full of seeds. So here it's very symbolic that they went to Sela Rimon, and that's where they were left. Why? Because although Binyamin had sinned severely, first by the people and then by waging this war against the rest of Am Yisrael and not doing tshuva, nonetheless they were still like a Rimon. Even Rishei Yisrael are precious, and therefore they were worth saving, as we will see in the next parak.
There were 13 short.
600 people. What does 600 though represent to us?
600?
Yeah, 600. Add a few zeros. 600,000, right? Obviously, 600. The number 600 is very significant in the founding of Am Yisrael, and here in the rejuvenation of a Shevet. Clearly, here we're about to rejuvenate the Shevet based on these 600 people. Also, a few more zeros. Well, 6 million. Well, that's one more zero, right? So, in any event, right? So you see, that's a very significant number. What the significance is, maybe we'll talk about later, next week probably. But in any event, what happens here is also they're there for 4 months. How long is 4 months? How many days? 120. What was 120 days? This is a tough one. If you look at my notes, you'll see the answer, but I'm not going to give it away. It's a tough one. Moshe Rabbeinu spent how much time up at Har Sinai? Har Sinai, yeah, Har Sinai.
40 days.
How many times?
Three times.
He went up once to receive the Torah, the second time to be Mispalel, and the third time with the Luchos Nios. So 4 months is an interesting number here. There are a lot of allusions here to the period in the Midbar, right? The fact that it was 600,000, the fact that it's 120 days in the Sinas HaTorah. This is really going to be a rebirth of Shevet Binyamin in the next parak from these 600 people. So now we say, Nisha so shovel bit.
Just for a point of reference.
Yeah.
When all these people fell, how long did it last?
Yeah, a few days.
That was it,
a few days. 3-4 days. It was a very bloody battle. The Nisha so shovel bit, bear in mind again, 70,000 people were killed in 3 or 4 days. V'ish Yisrael shovel b'nei bin Yamin. Am Yisrael, in the meantime, the rest of Am Yisrael went and they eradicated the Binyaminites. V'yakum l'fi cherev, they destroyed them based on the sword. Me'ir Mesim, Mesim is an interesting Hebrew word, I'm not sure what the etymology of it is, but Mesim means humanity. So it means that every city they destroyed all the human beings in the city, bar none. Ma'at behema, including the animals. Akonim tabam, and including everything in them, which the Radak says means the fowl. F-O-W-L. Gam kol ha'arim anim tzos, also all the cities in the area of Binyamin, nim shulcho ba'esh, they destroyed in fire. So really, they gave all of Shevet Binyamin the halacha of what?
The same as
right. It was mamish like an Iranidachas. Because by Iran. What?
Total destruction.
Because there was. Binyamin was so totally corrupt, at least in the rest of Am Yisrael's perspective, that they decided just like Iranidachas, there must be total annihilation. Here too, total annihilation. And probably, had they been able to get at those 600 during those days, when they really weren't angry, they would have killed those 600 too.
So of all Shevet, and as we're dealing in numbers and statistics, of all Shevet Binyamin, at the end of this bloody
yes,
around 600 or so.
600 men, no women, no children. That's all that's left from Shevet Binyamin.
Right.
That's it. The entire tribe is wiped out otherwise. Okay?
It's interesting to see later references in Tanakh. Any references to Shevet Binyamin? How they?
Oh, we're going to see now. Don't worry. We're going to talk about the great detail now. The next final parak of the sefer. That's really where we're going to end off with. I mean, obviously, Binyamin replenished because the first king was from Shevet Binyamin, right? Shaul HaMelech was from Shevet Binyamin. So they obviously had a place of significance later on. Okay, Mordechai, right? So now we're going to talk a little bit about the backgrounds for the regeneration of Shevet Binyamin. V'Yisrael Chotal. V'Yisrael Nishba B'Mitzpah. The Jews took an oath in Mitzpah more, and they said the following: Ishmi Menu, anyone among us, Lo Yitein Bito, Livin Yomi Lisha, none of us will give our daughters to Binyamin to be a wife. Nobody. Nobody's going to give their daughters. Now, this is a shvur, right? This is a shvur which they took prior to the war and oath. Now, I want to give you a little halachic background, even though the Malvim disagrees with what I'm about to tell you. There's halacha, which is that Neder Shehudar Al Das Rabim Ein Lo HaTorah. If a neder was made in public, barabim, with the agreement of the rabim, then it can't be annulled. There's no such thing. So here they couldn't, once they took a neder, public neder at mitzvah in which everybody participated, they can't nullify it.
What compelled them to take the neder?
No, they were angry. They were mamish angry.
They were angry before. They still turned to Kodesh Baruch Hu several times. They asked who should lead us.
No, this is at the beginning. Now we're flashing back in history. Way back when, at the beginning of this whole episode, they took a shvur then.
When exactly at the beginning?
Yeah, prior to the war. After Pilegish, before they went to war. That's what the Malim says. Okay? V'Yisrael Nishba Mitzvah, certainly before the whole war. V'Yisrael Nishba Mitzvah Lemor, Ishmer Lo Yitein Bito Livin Yomi Lisha, nobody's going to give their women from their families to Binyamin to be wives. V'Yavoham Beis El. The nation came to Beis El, V'Yeshvu Shom Ado Erev, and they stayed there till the evening, Livnei Elohim, before God, V'Yisu Kolom, V'Yavku B'Chi Gadol. And now they were very, very upset, and they cried very bitterly. What about what? What were they crying about? Vayomru, they said, Lama Hashem Elokeisro Hesazos Bisrael Li Pukit Hayom Yisrael Shevet Echon. Why did this happen Elokeisro? A, to Am Yisrael. B, Li Pukit Hayom Yisrael Shevet Echon. That in Am Yisrael, one of the Shvatim should be completely lost. The Malvin points out they were crying on two things. First of all, they're crying because they lost. The Malvin says they're crying on the 40,000 people who were killed during the first days of the war. From Israel alone, without the people from Binyamin. Besides that, they were crying over the fact that Shevet Binyamin would now have to be destroyed. Why would Shevet Binyamin have to be destroyed? Because of their Shvuah. Right, because of their Shvuah. Because nobody's going to marry Shevet Binyamin anymore. Right. What?
And who are they crying over? They're the ones who made the Shvuah. Are they not?
Right, they messed themselves up.
And blood, I don't know what you want to call them, but jingoistic. And they went to.
That's correct. They brought it upon themselves.
They didn't enjoy it.
Hey, remember, almost no Navi here, right? Pinchas appeared to us once, but now he's back. He disappeared again. Really, Am Yisrael here is functioning on its own the whole time. That's really what we said, the stress of the last prakim, how Am Yisrael was in a leaderless state. And because Am Yisrael was leaderless, all these negative things were happening. They were too hasty, they overreacted. Takia, these were things which shouldn't be occurring. Remember, Rabbi Isai, the period of the Shoftim was, this period at least, in the period of the Shoftim, was a negative period, and you're right. I'm supposed to be criticized for having done all these things. They shouldn't have taken the Shvuah. They shouldn't perhaps have gone to such a bloody war. All these things they can be criticized for. But now they have to extricate themselves from their difficulties. I see you're really upset at them.
Yeah. The thing is tragic for me.
Yeah.
Issues, the chronology. This period, Chavalev,
right.
The Chavalev, just a moment.
First part,
they're crying over two things.
Yeah.
They're crying over the fact that they're going to have to slaughter and remove one of Shevet.
They're crying over two things. First, over the slaughter, and also about the loss of a Shevet. So the first pasuk is flashing back to before the war.
Meaning that when flashing back, because it's flashback upon flashback.
Right.
They come out to Shevet Binyamin and say, how could you do this? Why did you do this? It's all pretext, according to this Beirush.
What do you mean it's all pretext?
Why did you do it? Here, give you a chance to come out.
After Binyamin. No, very simple.
Present your case. Last week we condemned Binyamin.
Okay, I'll give you the chronology. Binyamin, Maisa Pilegish Begiva. Am Yisrael gets together to analyze what happened, right? To make the investigation. They invite Binyamin to come. Binyamin doesn't come. They take a Shvuah. Binyamin's not going to cooperate with us, not going to cooperate with them. Nobody's going to give their wives to Binyamin. Then they come now to wage the war. And 40,000 people get killed in the first few days. They come back and now they cry bitterly, right? First of all, 40,000 of us have died. Now, secondly, and for that matter, Shevet Binyamin, right, has been killed out.
Will be killed, according to this paper. This is all before the actual war.
What? No, this is after the war. This is after the people were killed already. That's what I'm saying. No. The first pasuk is before. Again, the chronology is like this. I didn't make myself clear. The Shvuah was before. This crying of Psukim Beis Gimel is after there's been the great carnage.
What is this place? Where is this coming from?
The Malbi made it up. Right. No, he made it up.
Make up that the refugees went roaming.
But it makes sense. Logic dictates. No, that was a medrash. Logic dictates that. But this is not a medrash. This is a commentary.
Yeah.
Logic dictates that the Shvuah was prior. Because now they have charot on the Shvuah. So when they obviously, if they now they're going to regret the Shvuah must have been more historical. So that's what the Malvim and others here are coming to explain, that the Shvuah must have preceded the battle, and at that time they got very upset, they made a Shvuah, then they had the battle, and then afterwards they regretted the whole thing. Now, look, you're entitled to offer an alternate explanation. Perhaps you... No, I'm going to give you one. I'll give you an alternate explanation. That perhaps they took the Shvuah Taka before the 120 days, and during the 120 days, after the war, they took the Shvuah, before the 120 days, during the 120 days they calmed down, and then afterwards they regretted it. That's also fits and fine in the Psukim. I have no problems with that. Yes?
I know. Maybe I'm being a business
NFO. Hey, join the club.
Join the
club. Yeah. murder. Why should they keep the shuvah? That leads them to totem pole, the things that are important.
The Jews. Yeah, you see, but that's an interesting question. The truth is, though, in the Maisa Pilegish Begiva, on the whole, the Jews have been pretty Yirei Shemaim. They have gone to Kodesh Baruch Hu. They never invoked Avodah Zarah, right? So, which is a very interesting thing, which bothered me. I wasn't going to bring it up. I forgot about it. But it does bother me. During the entire period of the Shoftim, Am Yisrael was not so kosher v'yosher, right? We know that they were being levied of Azor the whole time. Yeah, and this whole Maisa Pilegish Begiva, they're relatively God-fearing. They make mistakes, but they always invoke HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it does bother me. When did Pilegish Begiva occur? If it occurred at the beginning, if it occurred at the middle, then they were levied of Azor. It seems to be circumstantial evidence that happened towards the end, when already we don't find as much of Avodah Zarah. But even that's weak. To me, it's a mystery. I'm not sure why Pilegish Begiva, everything is God, 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 when the whole time in Mr. Sefer Shoftim we had Baal, Ashtoreth, you know, all these different sort of Avodah Zarah. It's a very good question. I can't answer it. I don't know.
No medrash that says, or Perush that says that this Pasuk Aleph indeed follows in sequence to the end of the...
Is anybody saying explicitly? No, I don't think so. You have all the Perushim here.
Figure 8 and the Ishishel, see, there's a configuration.
Yeah. It could be.
There's 600,000 men left, no women.
600 men,
yeah. No women left.
And now they made the Shvuah.
First of all, Ishishel.
So when did they regret it? Right.
It wasn't always there.
But when did they regret it?
Ishishel is solidarity.
Okay, granted.
Right, so it's a function, it's an outgrowth of this uniting against them. The remains. Cohesion. 600 survived, but they're still in Chirim.
Right.
And therefore, we're not going to allow their evil traits of Binyamin, etc., to regenerate, so we're not going to provide them with women. And then it continues.
Now, when are they Chayzer? When do they renege on it? When do they feel bad? Pasuk Gimel says they feel bad, but they pocket that Lama Shemilkei Soi, so those Bisrael, they pocket a Yom Bisrael Shevet Echos. Immediately afterwards,
but
right after the Shavuot. So it was very quickly afterwards. They made a Shavuot and then they said, whoops, what do we do? It's possible. It's possible. You can say that. There's nothing to prevent you from saying so. Okay, but let's not get hung up on the chronology. Let's go further. Vayimi Macharas, it happened the next day, Pasuk Dalet. The people got up early. Vayivnu Sham Izbeach, Vayalu Olos Ushlomi. And they built the Mizbeach, and they would sacrifice to Olos Shlamim. So the first day of their tshuva, they cried, and they spent the whole day before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they just bemoaned what happened. The next day they decide, okay, we have to do something. What? Oh, so I want to say like this. The Radak says that they're either in the vicinity of a pre-existing Mizbeach at Shiloh or Beis El, but this Binyan Mizbeach was a new quest for connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If, however, they were still at Mitzvah, and it's not clear where they were exactly at this point. All these psukim require major sorting out, which I cannot do, as to where Beit El is here, where Shiloh is here, where Mishka, where Mitzvah is. I don't know exactly what's going on. The Radak did it. I'm not smarter than he is. But in any event, if they were still at Mitzvah, then this was a brand new Mizbeach. And now what I wanted to say, like you said, is perhaps there are Makriv Shlomim as a prelude to the course of Shalom. In other words, now they decided, let's make peace. And also, Shlemus, let's ensure the wholeness of Am Yisrael by ensuring that Binyamin doesn't get eradicated. So Shlomim really is very interesting here. Shlomim is here really something which connotes the fact that they're seeking Shalom and they're seeking Shlemus. What? With the 600 people, yeah. They're going to bring them back. Right? Look, see, better to make shalom with 600 people, you know, with a weak enemy than with a strong enemy. So they want to make shalom, and they want to control the shleivus of Am Yisrael. So, Vayomru, but the thing is, it's an interesting way how they do it. Very funny. Vayomru, they said first, and I'm going to follow the Malbim here. Vayomru b'nei Yisrael, mi asher lo alo bakom mikol shibtei Yisrael. They said, you know what? Somebody's got to be responsible here. If 40,000 people from our side were killed, somebody's got to be at fault. Who's at fault here? So you would say Binyamin, right? So they say, no. Must be somebody else. It must be, who's the one who didn't go up from the whole call, from all of Am Yisrael to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Ki ha-shvua ha-gdoilo isa, because there's another big shvua. The shvua we just learned right now is a shvua, nobody gives their wives to Binyamin. But there was another shvua. The other shvua was, v'asher lo ola l'ashem el ha-mitzvah lemor mos yumos. That anybody didn't come to the original convention was worthy of death and was going to be put to death. V'ayinochmu b'nei Yisrael el Binyamin achim. And it's interesting here that two threads are developed here in the Navi in tandem, side by side. The one thread is, let's find the people who are responsible for the 40,000 being killed, and let's kill them. And on the other hand, but Binyamin we have to have Rachmanus on. Because look at the next pasuk. Right now we just tried to find investigation on who to find who's responsible for all the carnage by virtue of the fact that they didn't come to the original camp. At the same time, Vayinochmu Yisrael Binyamin Achiv. I'm so at the same time felt bad on Binyamin, its brother. Vayomer they said, Oy, Nigda Yom Shevet Echon Mitzrael. Today, one of the Shvatim in Am Yisrael was uprooted. What's so bad about that? Who cares? So what if they lose their Shevet? Who cares? Yeah, the Gemara says that there's a brief that all the Shvatim that they won't ever be destroyed. No, it's that no Sheva will ever be extinct. Yes, that's one reason, because that would defy the brief with the Shvatim. But another reason which the Malbim brings down and the Radak brings down is that it says that the Shechinah is not Shoira in Am Yisrael, the Divine Presence does not rest in Am Yisrael unless there are 12 Shvatim. Because that's what the nation is made up of. So a nation without 12 Shvatim is crippled. Right? That's what we say, Yaakov Avinu mitoso shlema. Yaakov Avinu had the perfect offspring, 12 tzaddikim, and that was the way Am Yisrael was designed for all generations, with the camp of 12 in the desert, each with their own flags. One of them is missing. The Shechinah will not visit Am Yisrael the same way. So therefore there would be a great spiritual loss if Binyamin died out. Yeah.
How ironic that
Bnei
Yisrael, meaning Yaakov's sons, tried to eradicate Yosef, and they go after Binyamin, the two sons of
Yaakov. That's an interesting thing. They went after Yosef before they went after Binyamin. That's an interesting thing. Yeah. It's cute. So in any event, what are we going to do to those who are left, Lenoshim, to get them wives? We took a shvua. We can't do it ourselves. We took a shvua by Hashem in the name of God, not to give our daughters to them as wives. What are we going to do? Vayomu, they said, back to the other thread, the revenge thread. The scapegoats, right. Who are among the tribes of Israel who didn't come to God, to the original convention of Mitzvah? And they found there were no people in the convention from Yavesh Gilad. Where's Yavesh Gilad, by the way? Who lived in Yavesh Gilad? Which tribe? Where is Gilad? Elio, but that's not going to help. Menashe lived in Gilad, yes. Chatzi Sheva Menashe lived in Gilad. So none of them came up. So they said, oh, by his Bokeda, and they checked it out, is that true? They counted among themselves to double check. And they found out that Taka, that's what happened. By his Bokeda, ain't Isham Ishmi Yoshve Gil Yavish Gilad. There was nobody among them from Yavish Gilad, not a soul. So, Vaishluchu Sham Ha'eda, the nation sent there, Shneimasar Elef Ish, 12,000 soldiers, Mibnei Achayel from the soldiers, Vaitzavu Osam Lemor, and they commanded them, saying, Luchubi Kisemis Yoshva Yavish Gilad, go and smite those who live in Yavish Gilad, Lefi Chorev, Vanoshim and Atap, and the women and children as well. It's pretty bloodthirsty, Bnei Yisrael here. Yeah, but remember, there's a split, there's really a schizophrenia going on here. On the one hand, when Yemen we love so much, we can't eradicate them. On the other hand, Yavish Gilad, they're responsible for the carnage because they didn't originally come when we made a big shvua. So what's the eitza? We're going to fuse the two of them together. In ve'agef and min ve'agef and agavalde geshirich. So what do we do? This is what you should do. Call Zachar, any male, we call Isha Yodas, Mishkov Zachar, and any woman who had relations with a male, Tacharimu. Kill. They found from the people living in Yavish Gilad, Arbamios Nara Basula, 400 women who had never had relations, Ashaloyota Ishla Mishkov Zachar, who never had relations with a man, Vayavil Osam, Elamachane Shilo Asherbetz Knan. And they brought them back to the Machane Shilo, which is in Eretz Canaan. Now the Ratak asks a very strong question, he doesn't answer. I know where Shilo is. You don't have to tell me where Shilo is. Whichever Shilo was, let's say there too. Because it's confusion of Sukkim. But we know they were Eretz Canaan, they weren't the neighbor of Yarden. So why is the Pasuk saying Asher Eretz Canaan?
Maybe there's something that I want to do.
Yeah.
Talking about, you emphasize Shvuot that we're taking here.
A Shvuot, yes.
Whether it's a Shvuah upon a Shvuah, because if you really look back in the continuity, it was Chatzi Sheva Menashe and the others all kind of, there was a Shvuah to Moshe Rabbeinu.
Chatzi Sheva Menashe the Shvuah, yeah.
Chalutzim lifnei
amachat. They go Chalutzim, right, yeah.
And no show here.
That's a brilliant shot. I like that. You know what he's saying? He's saying that the Chatzi Sheva Menashe had a double whammy on them. Because many years ago they had taken a Shvuah to Moshe, which they had fulfilled to Yoshua, that they would go first to war. So it could be that they were really responsible to always go first to war, to be the chalutzim in all milchamos. So here, now were they not the chalutzim? What? Yeah, but they came. They came.
Everyone
else was there.
Except,
only Yavish Gilad didn't come. Yeah, in the original Shmuel, Reuven got in Chatzim and Asher all involved. So here, Taki is a double whammy against them because you, Mechutzafim, you originally were the ones who guaranteed you'll always be the Chalutz. And now, not only don't you know Chalutzim, you don't even show up.
And therefore, it explains where you've got to bring them where.
So that's very good. In other words,
should have known where Shilo was.
Right, they should have come because originally, and that's why it's called Eretz Canaan and not Eretz Yisrael. Because originally, when they entered Eretz Canaan, Shevet Menashe had taken that Shvuah to be the ones to always go first in the conquest of Canaan. And now, because they didn't abide by that original Shvuah as well, now they're being punished for not having done what they were supposed to do, which they promised in the original entry to Canaan. It's a beautiful shot.
Except they got 200 men here. What is there, a grand lottery here?
What?
There's 600 men.
Oh, we're going to get to that. Don't worry. So in any event, what I wanted to say, which is not as good a shot, is that Eretz Kadet, we're condemning Am Yisrael here. I was saying, all the Shvichus Damim, this is not a Maisa of Am Yisrael. This is a Maisa of Canaan. So they were saying that Am Yisrael here acted like Canaanim, with all this killing back and forth. You know, okay, so people do wrong. But to just kill, irrespectively, men, women, and children, that's not a Jewish trait, that's a Canaanite trait.
Where does it draw the line from
Lo tamo damrecha means if your friend is being killed, you can't stand by and let him be killed. That's no answer in killing him. No, that's what I'm saying. I think that the pasuk is condemning them. Okay. So now the Am Yisrael sent a messengers. By the B'nei Ben Yamin, with the white flags, and they spoke to the B'nei Ben Yamin Asher B'Sel Rimon, who were in hiding in Sel Rimon. Vayikruhem Shalom, and they said to them peace. In other words, they wanted to make peace with them. Vayosha Ben Yamin Mebeisai, and that time Ben Yamin came back 120 days later. Vaynulahem Anoshim Asher Chiu Min the Shei of Eshkilot. And they gave them the women who they kept alive from the wives of Yavesh Gilad. For Lo Motzulem Cain, they didn't find enough. Obviously, they were short 200. But the nation was still felt bad about Binyamin. Because the Kodesh Baruch Hu had made a breach in the Shleimus of Am Yisrael. Now this passage bothers me. I didn't see the Mepharshim speak about it. God is responsible. What did God do wrong here? They did this. If you're right, destroying an entire Shevet in Am Yisrael, they're blaming Kodesh Baruch Hu for this. What did Kodesh Baruch Hu do wrong? They didn't have Bechir Chavshis? Whose fault is it? Hashem's or theirs? So what does the Pasuk mean? Nobody speaks about it. What does it mean? So I don't have a good answer for you. I really don't. But perhaps this is
a nevuah about the Peretz David. Here you have juxtaposition.
Stretching it a little bit.
Binyamin and Shaul and Shai David.
Two off the shot. So I have two feeble attempts to understand it. One feeble attempt, but less feeble than yours. One feeble attempt is that
you give with one hand, you take me.
That's right. One feeble attempt is that the Akash Baruch should have provided them with 600 women at least. Once they decide to do the right thing and bring back Shevet Binyamin, you know, our bullet time Messiah, so God should help them out and give them another 200 women. So they were upset at Hashem. Oh, okay, you gave us 400. But where's the other 200?
They should have decimated another 200.
Yeah.
What kind of women did they give them? They gave them the women that they brought back
from Yavish Gila.
Right.
Yeah.
So obviously, maybe they felt that the Shmur is not how. On those particular.
Yeah, of course the Shavuot didn't take place because those, they weren't there, their representatives weren't the original convention.
They get another 200
when there was
not available.
No, so he was upset. They were upset about that. So there should have been Ashgacha prophets that they could get another 200 somewhere. Maybe. That's one interpretation I have. The other feeble interpretation I have is that they're upset at the Halacha. Halacha is the Neder of Das Rabim has no Hatorah, right? So they're upset at Kodesh Baruch Hu for having made such a Halacha, which prevents them from nullifying their nether. Now, I told you it's okay, it's difficult. I really don't have a good shot in this pasuk. I don't know what to say. What? Yes. So I like I say, I don't know exactly what parts of Shem means. Yeah. Maybe the pasuk is not justified, it's just that that's what they felt. It's as if they blamed Hashem even though they weren't supposed to. Could be. In any event, however, despite what I said, the Malbim, interestingly enough, does not take this tack. The Malbim says the Taka did pursue a heter for their nether in the next two psukim. So what does it say in the next two psukim? Vayom Ziknei Eida. All of a sudden we find the Zikanim involved. Who are the Zikanim? The Sanhedrin gets involved. So according to the Mab, the next two psukim are the Sanhedrin looking to be matir the neder. By the way, how's the chacham matir neder? How do you matir neder? What's the halacha? A chacham matir neder. Yeah. So what do they look for? Right. What do they look for? What does the basin look for? How you matir neder? You need either a pesach or a charata. Yes.
Yeah,
right. So Pesach means when a chacham has a Pesach, that literally means an opening in the nether, that means that the person who wants to be matir nether comes to chacham and says, Rebbe, had I known that XYZ circumstance would have occurred, I would never have taken the nether. For instance, had he known that the mikveh would have been cold, he wouldn't have taken a nether to go to the mikveh every morning. That's a Pesach. Charatami is where it's not a circumstance which you weren't aware of, but you regret the nether altogether. Charata is, I regret going, taking a nether to go to the mikveh because it's too much hassle to go to the mikveh. I regret it. I can't take this nether. I knew all the facts, but I regret having taken the nether. So you need either Pesach or Charata to be matir nether. Okay? Now, I don't know here why the Charata was not enough. I don't know. Charata is enough. Certainly we paskin either nether, Pesach, or Charata is enough. But here the Mabit says they're looking for a Pesach. They're looking to find something which they were not aware of when they took the original nether. What were they looking for? What are we going to do to those who are left over? What are we going to do for those who are left over to get them wives? This was the Pesach they tied. Oh, we got a Pesach. When we took the nether, we didn't realize there'd be no women left in Binyamin. How we know there'd be no women left in Binyamin? Oh, then we would have never taken the nether. So they wanted to use that as a Pesach. So that was their first approach. Then they rejected that. Because... Says the Navi, Fayomru, they said, no, that won't work, because Yerusha's Plata Libinyamin. Because we do have 400. Since we do have 400, so ultimately we can't say that was our Pesach. Our Pesach would be, had we known the Binyamin to be annihilated, there'd be no women, and we wouldn't have taken the net there. But that's not how circumstances developed. The way circumstances developed, there were wives. There were 400 wives. Binyamin can start. There is a Yerusha Saplata for Binyamin as saving remnants. So if that's the case, this Pesach is not a valid Pesach. What occurred has not been decimation Binyamin. It could be Binyamin completely decimated. Taka, that would have been a valid Pesach. But since Binyamin is not completely decimated, there's still 400 left who did find wives, so that Pesach is out the window. They can't use that Pesach to get wives for the other 200. So what are they going to do? V'anachnu lo yimached lo nuchal los islam noshim ibn oseinu. Therefore, we can't be matir this nether. We can't give them any...
They could have had another Eitzah. I don't know why they didn't do it.
What?
They could have brought, let's say, Knanim
or... Giyuris.
And Giyuris.
Yeah, I guess Amisodem was not very against Giyuris, like we traditionally are. Throughout Jewish history, except for a very short period in Bais Sheni, when the Hashmonai kings erroneously were Magyar people against their will, were generally against Gairus.
When Gairus was very, very much very popular and was going on
in Persia, Rabbi Miamei Arts Misiadim. But generally were against it, and I guess they didn't think that would be a good Eitzah. I guess.
They could have got around
it. We thought it did cross my mind, but I guess they didn't like the Eitzah.
They could have got around it and bring this whole sad, bloody episode full circle by giving their own women, unmarried daughters or whatever.
But they weren't allowed to give them at all. That's their point. Yeah, okay. Could be for Pelegish. Interesting. I guess that was also too much of a notion. Clearly that was in the intent of the Shvua. That was the intent of the Shvua to include that as well. It's cursed is anybody who gives a wife to Binyamin. So what are they going to do? What's the Eitzah here? So there's this famous thing before we go. We're not going to be able to finish the whole description today. So I'll tell it to you inside. So I'll tell it to you outside. Everybody knows what happens next. What happens next for the 200 other people?
Never learned it?
Tu b'av. Right, right. Too bad. All the girls used to dance around and get dressed nicely, and the boys used to pick the chasanim. That was what happened out in Binyamin. They say, you know what? You grab your own. The boys used to get their kalos. You go and grab 200.
How would they go around?
That we'll talk about next week. I don't want to leave that for next week, okay? But in the meantime, I want
to. Not allowed to give the daughters, but it's been
right. Right, right. We're not allowed to give, but if they grab, it's okay. That's right. That's right. Okay. But anyway, let's see three more psukim, and then we have a lot of rapsodic to see. But now, oh, we did that. Oh, you know what? There's this yontif when we have the mechilas, when we have the dances. It's a yontif to God and Shiloh from days of yore, Yomi Yomima, Hashem Mitzvonu LeBeisel, which is north of Beisel, Mizrach HaShemesh, east LaMesila of the path of Olam Beisel Shchema, which goes from Beisel to Shchem, Uminegev and south LeAvoina. So that goes crazy on this puzzle. He says, why in the world do we need all this description here? I don't know where Shiloh is. All of a sudden you have to tell me, punk, where Shiloh is. So the Radak gives a partial answer. The Radak says, oh, you know what? I'll tell you why it has to say this. Because here the Mechilas, the dances weren't in the city square. They were in a field outside of Shiloh. So therefore, what they were giving directions to is how to get to the field. That's what the Radak says. Okay? By the way, the Radak, as I told you before, has problems throughout the program, the last two, three program here. Where's Shiloh? Where's Beisel? Where's Mitzvah? Where all these places are. Okay, that's the Radak's answer. But I figured, you know what, it's a good question. And well, I don't like the Radak's answer so much, it's too partial. So I figured, let's free associate a little bit. Right? Always good to free associate. So, by the way, I have to tell you shamefacedly, I'm 33 years old. Today, for the first time, I realized what the word Mizrach comes from. When I read this pasuk, where does the word Mizrach come from?
Zarach
HaShemesh. I never realized that before. Where does Ma'arav come from? Erev, right? Harev Shemesh, when the sun goes down in the evening. I never realized that before. All of a sudden, for the first time, it hit me. Never thought of the etymology. So, because here it says Mizracha HaShemesh, where the Shemesh is Zareach. That's what brought it home to me. Okay. In any event, be that as it may, true confession, be that as it may, let's talk a little bit about Shiloh here. First of all, here, by the way, I have this all written down in my notes. Here, Shiloh is written not the normal way. How is Shiloh normally written? What? How do you write Shiloh now? What? Shin Yud Lamed Hey. Shin Yud Lamed Hey is the way you normally write Shiloh. How's Shiloh written here? With a Vav, right? Without the Yud. Right, there's no Yud here, right? Right. What? You have a Yud in yours?
Shin Yud Lamed Vav.
You do? The Pasuk you test?
No.
The Shiloh. We're not up to Chaf Aleph yet. We're in your test. You're going ahead. Shin Lamed Vav. Right? Why is it written here with a Vav? So I want to say like this. Normally Shiloh is written with a Yud K. It's written with the Shem Hashem. The Yud K in it. Here Shiloh is written without the Shem Hashem. It has just a Vav. Why? Because in the Shem Hashem, Yud K Vav K, the Yud and K represent the, call them fancily term, supernal realms. The realms of the Olam HaSoyonim. The last Hay represents Olam HaZeh. Olam HaZeh is Nivra Behei, the last Hay of the Shem Hashem. What connects the Olam HaSoyonim to Olam HaTachtonim? The Vav HaChibur. The Vav is considered to be like the pipeline which connects to Olam HaSoyonim, the first Yud K, to the last K. The Yud K Vav K. Now, what is the pipeline? That's in an abstract sense. Who is the pipeline who brings the Bracha and the Kedusha from the Olam HaSoyonim down here? Not Kohanim. Yeah. Think Hasidus. Who's the pipeline?
No.
Who? A tzaddik. A tzaddik is the person who brings the bracha. Right, you know, Lamed Vav tzaddikim, we spoke about last week. The tzaddikim are the ones who bring down the bracha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Am Yisrael. Now, the midah of a tzaddik, we say that's expressed by tzaddik yisod olam. The tzaddik is the foundation of the world. But yisod is also the sixth sphera in the lower seven spheres in Kabbalah. It's always associated with the number six. The sphere of Yosef HaTzadik is the sphere of Yisod, and that's the sixth. And if you remember Ushpizen from Sukkot, Yosef is the sixth of the Ushpizen. Why? Because the tzaddik, who's the person who's restrained and doesn't give in to his taivas, he is the person who's Ezu Gibor HaKovesh Es Yitzro, he is the person who brings bracha to the world. A person says that Kolo Ulam Kulo Nizo Mishu Chananya Bini Rabbi Chananya Ben Doisa Chananya Bini Dailo Bekav Charuvi Merav Shabbos Lerav Shabbos.
Can we also connect the Nesiyim and their Yud was taken away?
What?
Can we also connect the Nesiyim?
You certainly can.
Because their
Yud was taken away. But you have to understand exactly why that letter, right, yes, but certainly connects to why Yoshua got the hay from Sar, all that, yes, all that is connected. But in any event, so here too, what we're talking about here, Rabbi Sai, rejuvenating Shevet Binyamin. And we're telling Binyamin, what was your problem previously? Taiva, lust. This whole Maizel Pilekish Begiva came about because of un-Jewish, terribly barbarian lust. So now we're telling you, how do you restore yourself? With Shiloh, with the Vav, with becoming a tzaddik, becoming, having the restraint of your brother Yosef, of Yosef a tzaddik, which is represented by the Lamed, the letter Vav, which is the Tzinor, the pipeline of Kedusha, which is the tzaddik Yisod Ola. Further, the pasuk goes on and tells us this further. It says here that it was north of Beit El. Well, who went north of Beit El to find a wife? Chumash. Who went north of Beit El to find a wife? Yaakov went from Beit El north, because Bavel is north of Eretz Yisrael. So he's saying in Yirmiyahu, Mitzafon Tipatach Ra'ah. So he went north. It's true, it goes around. He went north and then east. But the way that they used to pack the caravan route was north. So he's saying, now when you come to take wives, we want you to take wives not the way you treated women in Pilegesh Begiva as objects of Taiva, but now take a wife with the same Kedusha as Yaakov Avinu, who went from Beis El to find a wife, from a Mokom Mikdash, right, Ein Zeki and Beis Elokim Zeh Shar Shmayim, to get married. That's the proper way to get remarried. Mizrach is, of course, the direction to the right. Well, any direction to the right represents, we know in Kabbalah, right represents Taiva, left represents Kina. The middle is always Kavod. So right is associated with Avraham Avinu because he represents Taiva in a good way, Chesed. The left is associated with Yitzchak because he associates Kina in a good way, which is Gvura or Yira. So we're saying, yes, Mizracha, you're going now to take a wife, to get married, which is an act, of course, which has to do with Taiva, but do it linked to the Mesila. Link it to, as we say here, what's the Lashon? Mizracha HaShemesh, La Mesila Olam Mibeis El Shechema. Do it along the right path. What's the right path? What's the right Mesila? Mesilas Yisharim. That's a pasuk says in Mishlei Tezayin Yud Zayin. Mesilas Yisharim Sur Meira. Mesilas Yisharim means somebody who restrains himself from going to evil. So he's saying now we want you to take your wife the right way, which is Mesilas Yisharim. What's the Mesilas Yisharim? The derech which goes from Beit El. What? Right, the Sulam of Yaakov was also a Mesila, which went up from Beit El, very good, straight up to Shemayim. And we want you to go, right, we want you to go from Beit El to Shechem. What's Shechem? Shechem is a Mokum of Taiva. Right? Shechem ben Chamor was the one who took Dina. So we're saying the only way that you guys are going to be Matzliach, going to be successful in rejuvenating your nation, is by rejuvenating your tribe, is by having a Mesila from Beis El, the Mesila to Shechem, from Beis El to Shechem, the Mesila of restraining yourself of Sur Meira. By the way, all the battles in the previous parak, you don't have it here because I didn't photocopy the previous parak, but all the battles in the previous parak took place by Mesilos. It says by Mesilos which went this way, by Mesilos which went that way. It says Mida Keneged Mida. Separate issue. You want to be Messiah, you cause terrible destruction in Mesilos, now we'll make the tikkun in Mesilos as well. But you have to do tshuva. That's important. Finally, the pasuk ends, it says, Uminegev Livona, south of Livona. What's Livona? So we have a pasuk in Shir Hashem. The pasuk in Shir Hashem says that Sheyipach Hayom V'Nosu Atzlalim Eilech Li El Har Hamor V'Algivas HaLivona. So pasuk in Shir Hashem, Perek Dalet pasuk Vav. So the Targum says there, V'Chol Mazikayo Mechablayo, all the demons and all the negative forces, Havu Arkin, would all run away, Mereach Ketores Busmin, from the smell, the fragrance of the Ketores. The Levona was part of the Ketores. What was the Ketores? What was the Ketores? What did it do? It made it straight. It was one of the Nisim in the Beis HaMikdash, you know. The Ketores went up in a straight line, a straight pillar of smoke, didn't scatter at all. Directly from, so to speak, HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Am Yisrael.
There was a Siman.
The Ashran of the Ketores, right? It went straight up. So, the Lashon of Ketores also, the Ramban explains that Ketores means to be Mekasher. In Aramaic, Ketores means Kesher. Kater in Aramaic is the same word as Lekasher in Hebrew. And the Ketores is what connects, symbolizes connection of Am Yisrael Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's why in the previous parashios,
the Ketores could also be at the table.
Yeah, well, that's why Aaron took it when Aaron had to be Otzer ben Achayim v'Amesim after the Maisa with Korach. He took a Ketores in order to show that it doesn't just kill, like it killed the 250 people who took the Machdos, but it also is a cure. It's dangerous, but it also is what stopped the Mako, what stopped the plague over there. That's both elements, right. So Am Yisrael's connection with Kodesh Baruch Hu causes Kodesh Baruch Hu to be medakdek with us, but also causes us to have the chesed of Hashem. So the Ketores was also, the Mizbach HaKetores is mentioned last in the whole order of things which was made for the Mishkan. Out of order. It's not mentioned in Parshas Truma. When is it mentioned? Only in the Parshas Tetzaveh. All the kelim for the Beis HaMikdash should all mention in Parshas Truma, and Parshas Tetzaveh is already what garments the Kohanim wore and what was brought during the Shiva Simei Miluim, all that kind of stuff. And only at the end of that Parsha, Parshas Tetzaveh, is the Mizbach HaKetores. So everybody asks questions out of order. The Mizbach HaKetores should be with the rest of the kelim in Parshas Truma. So the answer is given, I believe it's given by the Ramban, is no. The Ketores represents the culmination of the entire process of the Beis HaMikdash. What is the Beis HaMikdash meant to do? To make that connection between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Am Yisrael. And for that you don't just need the shell of the Beis HaMikdash, you need the Kohanim and the Avodah, and everything has to be functioning. So that's why the Ketores comes at the very end to tell us that the culmination of this whole process of creating a Mokam HaMikdash is the Kesher. And that's why the focal Avodah on Yom Kippur, the focal Avodah, is the Avodah of Ketores. That's what takes place inside the Lif Nai V'Lif Nim. So here too, just one more second, I'm almost finished. So that's why the Givas HaLavona also represents, Negev HaLavona represents here the connection of Am Yisrael Kodesh Baruch Hu. You guys, you Binyaminites, you almost severed it, the connection. For yourselves, your Shevet was almost annihilated. So now you have to reconstruct the Vav, the pipeline, the Vav HaChibur between yourselves and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that Vav HaChibur is represented in a physical sense. Literally, the Ketores is a straight line, just like a Vav. That's the pipeline. We want you to reconstruct that. And now when you take women as wives, you cup them, you're going to have to take them in a special holy time, in a special holy place. It doesn't stop take place. So it's a this whole process happened twice a year, the Gemara says. On the holiest day of the year, Yom Kippur, they used to do this. This is not Pashat Taivas. This is a holy way to get married. This is the way you guys have to do it. And on this Chag LaHashem and Shiloh, the day of Tu B'Av, that's the day you're going to do it. Why Tu B'Av? That we'll see in Reb Tzadok. I thought we'd get much further than that. The Bnei Yisrael speaking to Binyamin. What? Vayitzav. It's a good question. Oh no, but it says here Vayitzavu. Well, you look closely. It's missing a vav. It says Vayitzavukri. See on the side there? Oh, you don't have. You look in the Malbim. Maybe it's on the bottom, between the Malbim. Vayitzavu. It's a Kriya Ksiv. It's a Kriya Ksiv. Could be that the Ksiv Vayitzav means a Kodesh Baruch Hu, but we read it Vayitzavu.
And yeah. I try to redeem myself in a less allegorical way.
Sure, sure.
In a less allegorical way.
Yeah.
It has to be worked out, but I'm getting little glimpses that this pasuk, in a way, hinei chag Hashem, this is a reunification.
Right, reunification process. Yeah.
Haftachat HaKadosh Baruch Hu
Amechad. Yes.
That it's a recapitulation in using geographical terms of some of the major themes that we've encountered. In
right.
That all the fighting was Mesilo.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Beit El Shema in terms of Binyamin, Minegev Yudbonah, could be the whole tragedy of Dan, according to the way you presented, if I'm trying to recall from several weeks ago.
Yeah, how does Dan fit into Lebonah?
You mean that
no, you're right, but how does it fit into the words?
Minegev. These are all transitions.
Yes.
Me Mashu Lamashu.
Yeah.
All right? Mi Beit El Shema. We have to look. Mitzvona Lebeit El Zaha Shem. Minegev Lebona was the migration of.
So was there a city called Lebona? Oh, you mean Lebanon. Oh, Lebanon. Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, good, 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 good. So what do you want to say? All these are transitions.
I have to then work my way backward. One of the main worst themes here of the divisiveness was what happened, everything around Shevet Dan.
Yes, around the migration, right?
All right. Another one was Shevet Binyamin.
Uh-huh.
Well, we have to just look and see. It seems to me that there's, it's not only the allegory,
right? You're trying to say there's some geographical, historical, geographical issues here. Right. That could be. That could be. You need more work.
Also, really, in fairness to Binyamin.
Right.
They weren't
the only ones.
But they were also the effect.
Yes.
And not the primary
right.
cause.
The thing is that, yes, obviously, but the bottom line, I think, which we have here is that this pasuk clearly has more to it than meets the eye. That's what seems to me. And the Radak's question is a good question, and it begs a very good answer. Now, we have 2 minutes left. Let's just start the Reb Tzadok. We'll finish it next week. It's a good thing I didn't promise to finish the Sefer this week. It's on the last page on page 4. Now, this is Reb Tzadok, of course, on Tu B'Av. And I'm just going to start, and we'll finish the main body of it next week. There's a lot of it which Baruch Hashem has to do with Purim. Dalet. Bamishna, Sof Tainis. Law Yu Yomim Toivim Yisrael. It says there weren't greater days for the Chalei Yisrael Yisrael than Tu B'Av. Like Tu B'Av, greater than Tu B'Av, Yom HaKippurim. What happened on those later? Shabbat Benos Yushalayim Yotzos V'chulei. On those days, the Doi Yushalayim would go out V'cholos B'Kramim and they dance in the vineyards. V'cheinu Omer, and so too it says, Se'enu Re'enu, go out and see Benos Tzion, the daughters of Zion, B'melech Shlomoi, in Shlomo HaMelech, B'atorash Ito Imo, with the crown that his mother crowned him with, B'yom Chasuno So, on the day of his Chasna, the day of his wedding, B'yom Sim Chasibo, on the day of the joy of his heart. B'yom Chasuno So, Zematan Torah. On the day of his chasna, that's the day of Matan Torah. When did Matan Torah take place? It's a trick question. Trick question.
In what day? The sixth.
I told you it's a trick question. It was 6th Sivan, it wouldn't be a trick question. Which Matan Torah are we talking about here?
Oh.
No.
The second time. When was the second time? Luchos Shnios, when were they given?
Yeah, no, but
Machas
wasn't Yom Kippur.
Yom Kippur. Yeah. Yom Chasunaso is Yom Kippur. Yeah. That's the time. The Yom Simchas Libo. Zem Zebin and Beit Hamikdash Shibanu b'Mehir v'Yamenu. That's the day the Beit Hamikdash should be rebuilt. So ask the Gemara. Ask from sort of. So what's that connected to Tu B'Av? It must be that Tu B'Av is the day in which the Beit Hamikdash will be rebuilt. That's the thing which is expected to be rebuilt. That's no, Tuba Tishbov. Skipping out where I have the arrow. Pinei b'mishna misayim v'yom sim chaslibo zeh binyan beis hamikdash. Lichora ein lo shum shaychus l'kan. Was binyan beis hamikdash have do this? Was the beis hamikdash built? Gam lefi perush harav avadia bartenura shechayzer gam kel yom kippurim. That goes go back on yom kippur shayobu chanukas beis hamikdash. Malosh shamishna zeh binyan beis hamikdash. Because on yom kippur was the chanukas beis hamikdash. The second when they built the time of shleima, that doesn't fit in either, right? Mashmi zeh gufa binyan v'lo chanukah. Because here we're saying the day which is built, not the day of the dedication. V'neibah pasuk ne'mar, which we just learned. V'nei chag Hashem b'shilo miyomim yomim avigoymer. V'nei im yotzu b'nos shilo lochum b'mchalos avigoymer. V'tomah shem radak, and our pasuk radak says, eizah chag hayom ishana l'shana. What kind of holiday was going on here? She yotzu lochum b'mchalos. V'oymer, and he says, radak taka says, she'ef she'ef b'yom kippurim. That maybe this was taka yom kippur. She'ef b'nos yisrael yotzus l'mchalos b'kramim. And that was the day in which they always used to go out to the vineyards. And that also doesn't make sense. Why do they only make these dances in Yerushalayim and Shiloh and not anywhere else? And we'll stop here for tonight and we'll see the answers next week.